never rests.
All right, better never rest. Neither does the Georgia show on Sunday night. I haven't gotten much rest this weekend myself, Rusty Mansell. Welcome in, everybody, to the Georgia show here on your Sunday night. I am Jake Roos. He is Rusty Mansell. We are with Dogs HQ, and you know how this goes. Look, Rusty, let's just dive in, man. Everybody knows what's going on out in the world. We can talk a little bit about the game, but we want to dive in off the rip because it has become the story of the whole thing. Despite the fact Georgia overcomes the number one team in the country, jumps to number two in the polls. I mean, just an incredible turnaround. And what is on everybody's mind is picking up a penalty.
Yeah, I just got a text message just now, and somebody's, hey, can you do a radio spot in the morning? And they want to discuss the penalty. And let's talk about it and go on about our business here. I want to do one favor. If everybody would do one favor for me tonight, I don't think I've ever asked this on here. When you check in, you see Tyler Brennan there checking in from Southern California. Guys, check in. Let us know where you're from, what city you're from, where you're at currently. I love that. Kind of see the reach. And thank you for everybody being here early. And just kind of when you jump in, first get here, let us know where you're checking in from. And thank you guys for being here. Let's just get right to it. First of all, I think it's kind of just, for lack of a better term, BS. I think the way it was handled was completely
wrong. Have you ever seen anything like it?
I've never seen anything like it.
In real time, my mouth was agape, and I was like, there's no way that's what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I there's so many things like you don't understand. Like, let me say this. Was it pass interference? I don't think it was pass interference. You kind of see a little tug maybe on his jersey. Sometimes you get that call. That's not the discussion here. The discussion is that a referee was standing on top of the play, and he threw the flag, and that's the end of it, unless there was offsetting penalties. There was no offsetting penalties. The ball was marked. And when the ball was marked and the call was made, the students then interrupted the game for over 7 minutes. So at that point, everybody knows what happened. And then they got the call gets reversed somehow. And oh, by the way, everybody's wearing an earpiece. I'd call it a miracle. So here's my thing to that. I think it's absolutely for the SEC office to release something at 1 a.m. at like 1:20 a.m. Eastern time. I mean, that's almost as bad as a school releasing something Friday night at 6 o'clock. They called that Friday afternoon news dump. You know what I mean?
And it was about as effective as some of the school releases I've seen as well. It wasn't like this was a clear cut damning. Yes. Here's a firm stance we're taking. It was sorry about that kind of deal.
Yeah, man. I mean, just absolute just BS. And I think two things I'll tell you. And from looking at social media and a lot of posts, and I apologize because I will credit everyone. Not sure. It might have been Ross Dillinger. It might have been Ross Dillinger. I'm not sure who all did it, but somebody had a post that said Jerry Moorhead is literally face-to-face talking to Greg Sankey. Jerry Moorhead is the president of the University of Georgia. Jerry Moorhead has probably not had many football discussions ever. He's the president of the University of Georgia. He's not involved. It was all the football program. He lets Kirby Smart run things, and they have administrative talk together. But he don't talk about pass interference calls and what they're doing on fourth and one ever. I can assure you that with a coaching member. But that tells you kind of how what went down last night. And when Jerry Moorhead to go out there and have a discussion with Greg Sankey, and it wasn't about a bye week, I can promise you that. That tells you the magnitude of that. And also for Josh Brooks, who I have known for many years. I knew Josh Brooks when he was stapling papers together at the University of Georgia. Now he is the athletic director at the University of Georgia. And for him to come out and issue a statement last night and basically say, you're not doing us that way, he knows he's going to get fined. That was a big boy decision by Josh Brooks. But he had to stand up for his team, stand up for his program. And there's just no way to explain it today. And that's already going to get from the SEC office. There's not going to be a press conference, not going to be anything. Kirby spoke his piece last night. And then ironically, Kirby almost said the same thing I did. I'm telling you right now, and it should not happen, but it's going to happen. Some student section is going to get pissed off and they're going to throw stuff all over a field. The next time there's a bad call, it's going to happen. And that's just the way it is, man. So, I just want to say, you know, that's kind of, there's no rhyme or reason. There's no way to have anything about it other than that was a terrible, terrible precedent. And I've never seen anything like it. And there's no way you can justify changing a call like that. And the most important thing is what you said, Jake. Georgia survived it and moved on. I just got through watching the tape again. So just going to kind of listen. I don't know what else we can say, Jake. I know you've never seen anything. I've never seen anything like that. And I don't know how they justify it, and I don't know what's going to happen, but that was probably one of the strangest things I've ever seen, and it could have cost Georgia a big way.
Jake Rowe and I talked about it on the radio show earlier, and I think that what the SEC has, because of what has happened, I think that they are compelled this week to come out and say, if this behavior happens again, here is what will happen as a result. It's going to be a loss of downs. It's going to be 20-yard penalty. It's going to be you're going to have to get out and come with a firm rule. You can't do this because you have created a, like you said, the word is precedent. You have set a precedent that now, and Jake Rowe mentioned, he said, when I was up in that press box, he said that place when that happened went absolutely berserk because they realized all of a sudden we affected the game. We changed something.
Yeah, we bought time. We bought time.
That is a dangerous thing to put into people's minds.
And listen, it can happen anywhere. I mean, if Georgia fans would have known that would have bought them some time against Tyler Simmons, that Mercedes-Benz would have been, I can assure you that Mercedes-Benz would have been covered up because it is what it is. I want to give a little special shout out. See people checking in. Brad Bush says, Rusty, I was it. The Army soldier at the Darius Slayton ceremony. I remember that. I did that live on Fox 5 that day. Committed to Georgia at the time. So I believe that was you there. Good to catch up with you, good man. I was actually there that day. And thank you for your service. Those were cool days. Those Jake covered a lot of those. Those Army All-American ceremonies when they had soldiers there. Man, those were the days.
Those were awesome.
Great. Those were fun. I missed those.
Yeah. No, those were great. Not unprecedented, ridiculous. Like you said, listen, Georgia fans, right now, I'm going to tell you this. I said it on Twitter earlier today. You better appreciate having an athletic director like Josh Brooks that will stand on the table for something like that. There are not a lot of guys in this country that would step up in that way and make that public of a statement. Kirby Smart's going to get a fine too because he said they tried to rob us on TV. And Kirby listen, Smart's they're all ready to eat it, man. They are ready to eat it. And they're justified in it, man. I think that the place they're moving from, if you're anybody but Texas, you're looking at what happened and saying they kind of got hosed on that one. You imagine that happening? You imagine that happening to Texas at Texas, something of that nature? It's just not going down like that.
Not a good night for Greg Sankey.
Not a good night for those officials.
You have your two of your premier programs on national TV in such a spotlight game. I cannot wait to see the numbers. That will be the most watched game of the year so far by far. It'll probably do some of the biggest numbers they've ever done on ABC for
and
college football.
And this is what people will talk about.
So unfortunate, but Georgia, you know, we can move on, Jake. That was the question of the day. What a huge deal.
Well, we are going to move on because there was a lot of game that happened outside of that little bitty window there. Georgia messes with Texas 30-15. They overcome them in the Lone Star State. Look, you and I talked about it last week, Rusty. I said it consistently on radio this week. I know you did as well. You were going to know, was Georgia for real after this game? Georgia answered that question. Georgia's for real. Georgia can compete with anybody in the nation when it comes to this type of game. To go into a hostile environment like that with a team coming with this kind of swagger behind it like Texas has got, to do it on their home field, to overcome the adversity that they faced, and to not only do that, but to seemingly, there were moments when it felt like things were beginning to eke back Texas's way, but ultimately Georgia controlled this game throughout. And that was what I took away from it, was Georgia came ready. They understood the assignment, and they delivered.
Georgia's 6-1. Texas is 6-1. Georgia fans know what they can do now. Now, it has to be on a consistent basis. Like, it has to be. You got to put together defensive, you know, package like that. You can't turn the ball over like they have on offense, but you got to play in those spurts. You got a running back that had 3 touchdowns, and he had a good night, and Oscar Delp had a better night. Lawson Lucky had an unfortunate, you know, drop, and London Humphreys had a bad drop too. But you saw some spurts last night on offense and said, we got to put that together. Texas is 6-1, and those fans are sitting there going, uh-oh, was this fool's gold? Because Michigan is not anywhere near what they were.
Right.
And Oklahoma got ran out of the building yesterday against South Carolina. They fired their offensive coordinator today. Yeah. So, you know, if you're a Texas fan right now, you're 6-1, but you're going, man, what are we? If you're a Georgia fan today and you're 6-1, you're going, we know who we are, and we got to tighten some things up. But we are who we thought we were, and we could run this thing, and we could finish this thing off if we get better and better and better each week, a little bit at a time, get into a bye week. But you got to feel a lot better if you're a Georgia fan, because you've been through some battle-tested teams. You've been in Alabama. You've been in Georgia, Texas. You've played Clemson, who's on a roll. You kind of know who you are at Georgia. Texas right now, you don't really know who you are.
I agree. And especially at this point in the season, right? Georgia overcomes that loss to Alabama, bounces back from that. And look, they, like you said, consistency is the key for Georgia moving forward. They have to do this thing week in and week out in the way that they did it last night for three quarters. It wasn't great for all four. They still get to put together four. And that's what's crazy to me. Yeah. And we're coming up on the bye week, so you're going to get some of these pieces back. To me, one of the biggest things, Rusty, of the night, Jalen Walker, if you didn't know who Jalen Walker was, A, just go back to sleep anyway. B, there's no excuse after last night. The guy played like a man possessed. He was unbelievable. As good of a defensive performance as I can remember in some time. Just really took over that game. What stood out to me, though, beyond that was Mykel Williams. 38 snaps in that game. We saw him. I mean, he looked hobbled last week.
Barely. Mm-hmm.
And he comes out and does that. The biggest performance he's had, I believe, this whole year. I believe that was the most snaps he's played all year to this point. Getting those pieces in there, having guys like that, and having Mykel Williams play like Mykel Williams can play, both of those performances, I thought, Rusty, just so dominant. Jake Rose said, you know, Georgia has a front that can be championship caliber with those two guys.
And you do it with a front four. You don't have to bring a lot, because you look at their third down blitz package, rush package last night. It was Jalen Walker, Mykel Williams, Warren Brinson, or Christian Miller. And on the other end was Damon Wilson. So, I mean, if you go off what we've done all these years, you go Damon Wilson, that's a five-star. You go Warren Brinson, who was a highly recruited kid. Christian Miller, he's the other D tackle. He was highly recruited. Mykel Williams was a five-star. Jalen Walker was a five-star. I mean, that's what Georgia has become, and those guys. And the biggest thing, too, with Mykel, it frees everybody up, because you can't double-team those edges. And if you do, Mykel's going to go one-on-one with somebody. And I think that Mykel Williams is going to stand up more, too. I think they're going to get some packages in with him. I loved last night. I was going back and watched a couple of series. I think the two series that Arch was in. Arch throws a really good ball, crossing route. Guy catches it 10, 12 yards. They come up, first down, he doesn't make a play. Second down, the Georgia spies him, and they don't spy him. Like, they just let Jalen Walker just sit there. And the minute he goes to the right, scrambles, you see Jalen Walker trigger, and he runs him down for about a 5-7 yard loss. Like, Archie Manning's never seen anything like that. Let me just be honest with you. I think Archie Manning is going to be super duper. Like, I think Archie Manning's got every ounce of tools. That guy's going to be hell to deal with.
He
was in no way, shape, fashion, or form ready for that. He's never seen anything like that last night. He's always been able to break the pocket and to at least get 5 or 6, 7. Last night, number 11, ran him down, and not only ran him down, he tackled him for about a 5 or 6 yard loss. And I want you to go back and watch the replay. When Arch Manning gets up, he kind of looks around. He looks at Jalen Walker like, "Oh, okay. So this is what I'm signed up for." You know what I mean? So I want to say that, though. I don't want to pile on Arch Manning, because I think this guy's going to be super. I think he's got every tool, and I think he's going to be hard to deal with. And Georgia's going to play him next year in Sanford Stadium, which will be another good matchup. But last night, him getting thrown into that game, he wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, no. And I mean, look, I don't think what yours was either. I don't think it was he wasn't exactly ready for what it was. That image has floated around all day, and it stuck with me last night when they turned the camera on those two guys. I mean, they had the 1,000-yard stare, man. I mean, those guys, they were in hell at that moment. They said, "We are not ready for this." And it was clear in the expressions that they were wearing. That was not a look of confidence. That was a look of concern.
So awkward. Neither one of them would have talked to each other. Because I mean, you're sitting there, you just got pulled. Okay. You just got pulled for the guy beside you. Both of you thinking the same thing, like, what? God, these guys are fast. So it was one of those moments, man. And, you know, as covering Georgia, that's what you're accustomed to seeing that. And it was nice to see them take over a game and just dominate a team like that for pretty much most of the 3.5 quarters last night. But I'll say this too now. I mean, those two tackles, both of those kids got projected first rounders this week. And in the latest mock draft that I saw coming in this game, both of their tackles were projected first rounders, and they still may go first round. But I'm telling you right now, Jalen Walker and Damon Wilson too. Damon Wilson's not getting enough attention for what he did last night. But Mikael Williams those three guys, I think Warren Brinson had a good game. They got after some dudes last night.
Yeah, probably the best game of Damon Wilson's career, in my opinion. I think
that he's starting to show up, man.
Yeah.
Yes. He's starting to show up. He's always show up in the run game. You don't get any stats for that. You know what I mean? And I did a thing on with DJ Shaka this week, and they said, give me a player to watch. And I said, listen, this is the first game Damon Wilson's ever played where he knows where that quarterback's going to be. Like, even Mississippi State last week, that guy could run around and move. And, you know, you start talking about Jalen Milroe, and that was early on in the season, but the guys didn't get around the pocket. If Georgia plays a guy, and typically this has been the history for Georgia, if they play a guy and they know where you're going to be, you're in trouble because they're going to get to you. And last night, they got the Ewers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that they were all over all of those guys, and that's just at the end of the day, that's what it was, man. I mean, like I said, they were – it was impressive, and, hey – they probably weren't sad that Justice Terry was there to watch it all in person either.
that probably didn't hurt. You know, and I'll say this too. We talk about that. And one game doesn't make or break. You know what I'm saying? Usually that make or break. But one game can make you go, you know what? That's kind of who I am. You know what I mean? I'm watching the defensive line dominate. So, you know, I've made my comments and my opinions on Dogs HQ, on Justice Terry, and where I think he's going to end up. But Georgia did nothing to hurt their chances last night to land another 5-star. I can assure you that.
Absolutely. Absolutely not. I think that it was as good as anybody could have hoped for. And like I said, it's a shame that we're talking about what we're
doing. I just didn't know. I mean, talk about Texas. You know, I was confident. Oh, yeah. We did not know. But I switched my pick, which I never do. I usually just go with what I'm going to do, and I had to make a pick. That's kind of my tradition, August 1st. And the only loss that I picked in the regular season was for Georgia to lose to Texas.
Right.
And I just felt like it was going to be – listen, I went back and read. I said, it's going to be a crazy atmosphere. This is going to be a great game, and this is going to be one where Georgia just gets outscored at the end. The more it went on, the week went on, I said, man, this is shaping up for a Kirby Smart special right here. I mean, this guy never gets to be the underdog, you know, and there's no telling what he's told this team going into it. He's probably got all kinds of stuff made up, put up in the office there. But, I mean, it was shaping up. So I made my decision to make my change. I felt like Georgia was going to find a way to win this one. I felt like they were going to play as good as they have all year. And for the most part of the game, they did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nice. They did. It was a sight to behold. And I know everybody happy with how it played out, and rightfully so. I'm happy for you. I think that there's a lot for fans to have appreciated about that performance. And again, like I said, shout out to those guys for showing up when they needed to, because they had to do it. And they erased a lot of doubt all across the nation. Speaking of erasing doubts, if you're looking for something to do with your bye week here, I would definitely suggest getting over to check out our friends at GameTime.co. That is GameTime.co. Great friends of ours. And look, they have you covered on all of your tickets. It's the bye week, all right? You need to get out there. Perhaps your girlfriend, your boyfriend, they're not into the football. They've been waiting for a weekend off. You got to get out there, get them some tickets, get them hooked up with Game Time. Game Time does an absolutely phenomenal job. And I think what makes it so cool, you can go view all the events, right? This is everything happening in Atlanta here in the upcoming. But you can also go in and let's say you're being a little preemptive. Maybe you want to go grab some tickets to go see the Hawks. You can get in this weekend and look, You can check out, let's say, oh, $76 right here in the corner. Boom. Right there. Great view of the of the stadium there at Phillips, State Farm, excuse me. You can get down there, check it out, and that's what's so cool to me. You get the best price guarantee. They're going to take care of you in that way. They're going to make sure that you get in, you get your ticket seamlessly. It's a fantastic experience working with it. Download the Game Time app. You can see all of the seats, go through the Game Time picks. It'll give you some great deals to get in on. All-in pricing, the views of the seats, like I said, lowest price guarantee. You get it all. And you can use our code ON3 for $20 off your first purchase. Now, terms do apply with that, but create your account, redeem your code. That's ON3, $20 off, GameTime.co. Like I said, good friends of ours, seamless experience. Go enjoy your weekend. It's bye weekend, man. Go do something else. Go. I mean, if you want to watch football, that's fine too. But I understand. If you want to get out, Game Time's the way to do it. Go see them. GameTime.co. What time is it? It's game time. Rusty, aside from the recruiting, or aside from the win, there was a lot of recruiting. It's been absolutely freaking bananas. That was, I told you earlier, Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this week, and then spilling over into today, one of the craziest four-day stretches I can recall in terms of the impacts and what it all meant. You lose. Let's start with Thursday. Let's take it back to the beginning. All right. We'll start with Thursday. Georgia loses five-star 2026 quarterback Jared Curtis. Probably going, he's in the running for number one quarterback overall in the industry ranking. I believe Faison Brandon, number one currently. Those two guys are probably going to duke it out throughout. They've got all the tools. Depends on what you're looking for. Georgia landed that commitment in March. He backs off of it here in mid-October. Based on what you're hearing, Rusty, what was this about? Was the feeling that this was perhaps a bit early for a 2026 guy of this caliber?
Well, a little bit early for him. And let me say this, too. And I know that people are going to jump, but I'm going to back it up, too. He now has an agent. And I will say this, that 95% of the quarterbacks that are at his level all have agents.
Yes.
And I don't think the agent's working against anybody, but an agent's there to make sure that his feels like his client is getting what he's going to deserve. You know, so they're gonna test the market, I would imagine, looking around. I talked to someone real close to this. And basically what he put in his Instagram post was he wanted to take visits, but he didn't feel right being a commitment of a school, being a verbal commit and going to visit other schools, especially as a quarterback. So, you know, I kind of understand that, you know what I mean? If you're half in right now and you're going to take visits, not a great look. And that's not the type of young man he is. Met him and his mother. So I kind of get that. And that's not the best news in the world, but I will say this, that Georgia is very, very much in this, and Georgia is going to be a team all the way to the end. This is someone that they're really comfortable with. You know, Mike Bobo did a really good job getting him committed early. He basically called Georgia in March and said, you know, is my offer real? And Coach Bobo said, yeah, you can commit right now. And he did. So, you know, and that's since then he's kind of blown up. You know what I mean? He's taken off it's just one of those things where he's going to do his due diligence, but I'm confident that George is going to be in this thing for real. I mean, for his people around him, everybody around him, they really think highly of Georgia and kind of how he would fit into their offense and how he would fit. So it'd be one of those, man, but you got to kind of understand, man, if you're a parent, put yourself in a situation, it's a different day and age. And people are like, agents, listen, they all have agents. It's not one or two. I remember couple of years ago when I heard Jaden Rashada had an agent, I was like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, and now that's the norm. Everybody has an agent. Everybody even has marketing teams. You know what I mean? And this is what I tell people. I don't care if you like it or not. It's not going back. Nothing's changing. You just want to be sure you get the right piece of the puzzle for your school. And young man got a, I believe he signed a Leaf trading card deal, and they do the kind of the elite players. So he's doing a good job with that. So I call some Georgia fans to be real patient here. I'm not saying he cannot end up somewhere else. He very much could. But I will say I am confident that Georgia is a team this young man really likes. Georgia really likes him. And there's some key people around him that really like Georgia. So we'll see how this unfolds the next couple of weeks. This is not one of those things where he decommitted and you're not going to see him again. He's already going
to be back. He's going to be back in a couple of weeks.
He's already going to be back on campus in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, just to give you a sense of where Georgia is in this, it wasn't like he turned his nose up and walked away. He'll be back on campus, and I'm sure they will be quite happy to pitch their
game. Let me answer one comment here too, and not calling him out, but John says they're not legit agents. They are legit agents. He has a guy that represents NFL players, so these aren't. Listen, it's developed to there. Like, we had the Nashville own, we had our own three elite series. Okay. It's the top 30 or 40 players in America. And we go through all these process. We start talking about things and how to make decisions and all that. You know who spoke at the Nashville own three elite with only high school players this year? Jimmy Sexton. So those guys have gotten into the high school level. So I don't think people understand. This isn't some street guy. This isn't Uncle Rusty over here going.
I think Jackson Cantwell has Drew Rosenhaus, if I'm not mistaken.
Malachi Starks has Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah.
Michael Williams has Drew Rosenhaus. So let me show you what these guys are doing now. They're trickling down. So not picking on anybody. I just want you to kind of understand they have real, real legal representation now. And now with the new rev share coming in, this is only going to spread out. So you can understand that this is kind of what's going on there.
Yeah. No, these guys are just out in front of it. Speaking of people who probably should have an agent, though, I'm sure he does. Elijah Griffin in for the Bulldogs on Friday. Five-star plus, number one defensive lineman in the country, Rusty. Look, I don't think this was a shocker to anybody. If you followed the show, if you've been on Dogs HQ, if you've ever been on the internet and you typed in Elijah Griffin's name, you probably saw Georgia next to it. Not a huge shocker. What I often caution people about, though, in a scenario like this, don't let that diminish what this means. Because even though you always expected it, don't let that ruin the fact that you just picked up a guy who has every trait in the book to be a phenomenal player at the next level and well beyond.
Yeah, I think if he went to Miami Friday, I think Georgia fans would understand.
Right.
To appreciate that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This guy's elite now. We talked about it with you guys today, and I feel like there's three or four in America, every class. He's one of those three or four. I mean, this is a no-brainer, and if barring something crazy, unexpected, you know, with him, I expect him to be as good as his rating is. I expect him to be a very impactful player at the University of Georgia. This is a young man that goes to Savannah Christian School. The academic side of him, he already has that. He has a really tight circle around him. I know his mother's really involved. His family's really involved. I'll say this too, man. Just like I said for Jared Curtis, Elijah Griffin has been leaning to Georgia for a long time. But credit him, he did his due diligence, and he went and saw multiple schools. He went to Alabama. He went to Southern Cal. He went to Miami. I tell you where he went a lot. He went to South Carolina a lot. He went to saw all those schools, and nobody could knock Georgia off the top for him. So those type of kids right there are kind to me. It's going to be really good for Kirby Smart because that kid wants to be at Georgia. He had all the chances in the world, and he had – millions of reasons to go other places. You take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
But he chose Georgia. That's been the school behind the scenes for a while for him. And those type of kids with his makeup and that position of need, he's an elite defensive lineman. They've been working out, and I would be shocked if this guy's not really, really good at Georgia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of really good, we do want to give a shout out to another one of our friends, and that's Andy Ludeke and the boys over at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Are you a displaced corporate executive or wanting to put your career in your own hands? Or are you an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify? Well, Andy Ludicky and MyPerfectFranchise.net can help. Andy is a huge college sports fan and a franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises and businesses. Using his expertise, he helps others find their American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. So call Andy, put your life and career in your own hands. Best of all, his services, 100% free to you. So what do you have to lose? Find your perfect franchise at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Again, that's MyPerfectFranchise.net. Appreciate those guys so much. Rusty, as wild as it's been, we can all kind of breathe a sigh of relief, I think, for maybe a week. I don't know. Who knows? Probably not at this point, to be honest with you.
Don't jinx us, man.
It's bye week. Bye week's here. Second bye week of the year, which is super weird. My whole family today was like, "Wait, why are they having another bye week? When did that start?" Yeah. It's messing with me, too, to be honest with you. I'm used to this one. The other one threw me off. That was the thing.
Let me give you this, because the sicko in me looked today. Today's October the 20th. The national championship is on January the 20th. That's 13 weeks from today.
There you go.
You know how long a season that's left if you get there?
We say it every week. It's like it's just starting.
I would tweet that tonight, but every college coach I know will be in my DMs going, "I hate you. Like, what are you trying to do to us right now?" So I'm not going to do that. But 13, the two teams that are going to be left as of tonight, they're staring down 13 more weeks before they tangle it up in Atlanta.
You think those guys are going to be beat up? You think they're going to be tired? You think they're going to be never so ready to see football in the rearview mirror as anybody has ever been? I mean, unfathomable. Unfathomable. Please,
think about this. The portal will be closed.
Yeah, sure.
You're going to have dudes on your practice. You're going to have dudes at practice that are about to leave. Like, can you get two more weeks? Can you stay two more weeks to practice for this game? Like,
sure.
Another whole show, man.
No, absolutely. I'm expecting a heavy dose of recruiting this weekend. I'm expecting a heavy dose of guys getting healthy. We've talked about, listen, will Tate Ratledge be back after this? You heard some positive things going into that game, even.
He looked good, man. I noted last week that he had on tennis shoes, but he still had a really good limp. Roger Robinson had on a boot last week. Smile Munden had on a boot last week. But Tate Ratledge, for the first time, had a pair of tennis shoes on. He had a big brace, one of those tie-up braces on his ankle support. And he was kind of walking a little bit. I've been saying the whole time, Ole Miss, he's got a really good chance, I think, to be back for Florida, which is a huge deal for Georgia to get right back in that rotation. I think Micah Morris has played great. I don't think Micah Morris is going anywhere. The way Georgia has played this between Micah Morris, Tate Ratledge, and Dylan Fairchild is those three, those three guys on the field and mixing it up. So, I think it would be really good. Obviously, anytime you want a guy that's one of the leaders on the team, and oh, by the way, he's a first-team All-American. So, you need to get Tate Ratledge back. And I know that Tate Ratledge is itching to get back, and this stretch run here is going to be important for him.
And they've performed admirably in his absence. And there's two ways to look at that, right? You would have, of course, you would have rather had him, but you're building the experience, the depth going into these 13 weeks. I mean, are trying to go all 13 weeks. So there's that aspect of it too. Jordan Hall, we feel like maybe getting closer as well.
I don't want to give away that note that I put on the board, because usually I don't get into some of that stuff, but go on Dogs HQ. Go on the message board.
See what we're feeling there.
Read that note from Jordan Hall today. That's pretty strong, man.
Another week for Mikel's not going to be a bad thing.
No.
I mean, this is coming at a good time for Georgia. Yep. And like I said, I think Georgia was already playing well. Georgia showed that in Austin. You bring some of these extra pieces back into the fold. Suddenly, I think that we're talking about some really, really interesting stretch play here. But it's going to be tough, man. God almighty. You look around the landscape of this thing right now, Rusty, and it is off the chain, man. I mean, Tennessee over Alabama. Illinois goes over Michigan. USC is in hell right now. I mean, just absolutely struggling, dude. Let me ask you this, because I asked Rode this earlier, and has there ever been a quieter undefeated number three team than Penn? I feel like I know nothing about Penn State. I feel like I've heard nothing about them. I haven't watched them. I don't know what's going on with them. Maybe they're incredible. I haven't seen it. I don't know. I've only got so much bandwidth for this. Oregon's number one now. Dan Lanning, hey, shout out to the boys out west. They're doing it. So this thing's upside down, man.
Let me give you a sleeper team.
Yes.
Let me give somebody that's going to sneak in. I'm going to tell you something that's got a really good chance sneaking in the playoffs. Is SMU.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm telling you right now, and Georgia fans and Texas fans and everybody else is going to come unglued when a team like that makes it. But I'm telling you right now, SMU has got some guys. They've held their portal guys. They got a chance as a one-loss team to get in this thing. If you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, at some point you need Notre Dame. Everybody in SEC needs Notre Dame to take another L. Everybody in America needs Notre Dame somehow, somewhere. They don't have a championship game. Like, everybody needs them to take an L, and that's going to free up a spot because their path right now is they're there.
Sam Wright says, I think Indiana can sneak in. Brother, Indiana's going to be in today if it's shut down. I mean,
well, the quarterback got hurt this week. You know what I mean? I don't know how long he's out. They got a backup there that they like, but man, Indiana, like, what are those people thinking? Like, they're getting ready for Midnight Madness in basketball, and football is getting in the way. You know what I mean? Kurt Spignetti, man, good deal for him.
I saw Alabama fans that said perhaps we should have hired Spignetti to come back up for a year. Ooh, I mean,
that's the whole situation. It never was a great – I don't care who it is. That was going to be a tough deal to follow Nick Saban. But, man, to lose to Vandy in Tennessee – I mean, they were on top of the world. They beat Georgia. I mean, they were gonna build this guy a statue. And here I am, 50 years old, and I'm going to be tuned into Paul Feinbaum again tomorrow just so I can watch the reaction. I mean, it's what's great in the world. You know what I mean? Like, you just want to see these guys and see the reaction. And people are crazy, and sports is why we all have a job. But on one serious note, because my man Brad Bush talking about Lawson Lucky here, I do want to give a shout out to Ben Jurosik. And I'm telling you right now, I have been one of his biggest critics. I have been like, this guy is so far in over his head. He's getting mauled. I mean, he's whiffing on blocks. I can't even imagine what he's been through at practice with Kirby Smart with that microphone. But I'm going to tell you right now, the last two games I have personally watched him, and number 84 is freaking playing for Georgia. Go watch that tall sweep touchdown last night where they go unbalanced. They actually put Monroe Freeling at left tight end position. They go unbalanced, and they line him up. He absolutely mauls somebody for eating him to walk in. Then on the fourth and one, watch this dude come in and just forklift the dude. I mean, I bet you the feeling he had getting on that plane last night is like, I'm a Georgia Bulldog now. Like, I'm here. I can play with these guys. I'm being physical. He's only got one catch, so he's got to get involved in the pass game. But Ben Jurosik, I've been his critic, but I also want to be a man about it. Watching him more, he is really coming on for Georgia, and that's what he was brought into Georgia for, period, was a big body tight end that can attach to the line of scrimmage who can block.
Three performances out of those. I thought all the tight ends looked pretty good, honestly.
They're all good.
Those guys are coming on at the right time.
Oscar Delp. I'm telling you, Oscar Delp's blocking from a year ago. Like, if Oscar Delp's got the blocking part, we always thought he was great. See, he's had a little bit of trouble consistently with hands. Seems to have a better night last night. Had one of his better games. But I'm telling you, Oscar Delp, physical-wise, he's holding his own blocking. He's just not as big as Jurosik. Right. So that's kind of what Georgia wants. They always want to have three.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Guys, listen, get over to Dogs HQ. I promise you the bye week matters not at all to us. We don't live in a bye week. We don't get the week off. We're not going to get to hang out and, you know, drive the Lambo around. We're going to be on the message boards at Dogs HQ. We got content coming. We're going to load you up. Get over, check it all out. Please come hang out with us. We appreciate you guys being tuned in. We picked up a bunch of new friends this week with the flash sale. If you're watching this on Sunday night, you can still sneak over there and get the flash sale. So come check that out. But
I'll say this too, recruiting wise, the people that follow that, this will be a big week. The coaches will be back on the road this week. That's always kind of a telltale sign. And, you know,
especially at this time of the year.
Just to give you an example. So last time Georgia was on the road, they went by and saw Tavion Wallace, who's the Arkansas linebacker commit. They also went by and saw Anthony Crua, who's at Marietta's North Carolina commit linebacker. Well, we didn't know that until maybe a few days later. But what did that do? That told us there's still communication going on. And guess what happens? They're on campus a week later. So when we start confirming where these coaches go, it always kind of tells you what's going on there. So it's not going to be a complete bye week. It's going to be a busy week recruiting wise. And I'm sure Kirby Smart is going to step right to the mic Tuesday and go, this is not a damn bye week. This is a work week. But they're going to get after it. Those kids will get off early Friday morning, and most of them will be with their families because they know this is it. This is the last. They don't get Thanksgiving. They don't get anything. This is the last weekend they have off until the season is over at some point. And they'll get a couple of days off in between potentially SEC championship and or playoff game, or if not into a playoff game, they'll get 1 or 2, 3 days there to rest. But they don't get a weekend to go home and see their families and get on planes and go home those times. So yeah, that means a lot for those kids and families, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We won't see our families. We'll still be working. Get over to Dogs HQ, and we appreciate.
Can we get a new microwave? Because that we're gonna go funny on that.
I'm waiting on the funds to hit, Rusty.
I will not call this person out because that's not how I do business. But I just got a text message from a player's parent and said, "Thank you for the discussion on number 84, because he has been playing his tail off, and that was not his parents. So I don't know him, so." There you go. People realize that parents watch this. They read comments. Everybody's a dog fan together. But
hey, Dalen Everett read those comments, I promise you.
No doubt. But I'll say, oh, yeah, how about that? But I will say this too, man. Times I'll be a critic, but Ben Jurosik, man, 84, go back and watch not just last game, as somebody just mentioned, go back and watch the last two or three games. He has really come on, and I know he had a good smile on his face getting on that plane last night leaving there.
Absolutely. Guys, stay tuned. We'll be back with you this week. But subscribe if you haven't, and get over to Dogs HQ. We appreciate it. Y'all have a great Sunday evening.